Good Tuesday afternoon, and welcome to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. And today we are going to be talking about the new House Select Committee to study the weaponization of the federal government. This is going to be a very interesting discussion. Joining me today for that discussion will be Mr. Mark Hare, who is he founded an organization called the Center for Self-Governance, and he is going to be talking with us about this study committee and finding out just exactly what the powers will be behind this group and what so far it appears that they're going to be purposefully ignoring. And I see the CIA, it's been very obviously omitted from this discussion. There's going to be a lot to talk about. Join us on the other side of the break.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at brighteonstore.com. Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots. And today we are going to be talking with Mark Hare. Mark is going to be talking about the Select Committee to study the weaponization of the federal government. He's been working directly with some of the Congress people that are involved in this effort, and he'll be talking about what they need to get into. As Mark said off camera, there are 432 agencies that are part of the federal administrative state that need to be looked into. Mark, welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Dan. I appreciate it.
Well, let's get started, because I know that you are trying to get affidavits put together that will help Congress in this outreach, and you're trying to help them in ways that will make a difference, that will be a permanent difference. Talk to our audience a little bit about what you're doing with this group.
Well, back in 2019, I wrote a paper called The Political Weaponization of Labels. And this paper was to identify what I perceive to be the use of labels like white supremacy, hate group, anti-government, reject federal authority, domestic terrorist, right-wing extremist, Christian constitutionalists, all these kind of weird labels, and they just kept being repeated over and over again by the media, non-government organizations. I started hearing it in the use by the IRS media when President Obama was in office. And I was politically participating because of the bailouts back in 2008 under Bush, and then the TARP II bailouts by President Obama in February of 2009. Next thing you know, I was being labeled a white supremacist by my congressman, Steve Cohen, in Memphis, Tennessee, on Young Turks Radio, April 2nd, 2010. And not me specifically, Dan, but people that just participating in society, having conversations like you and I are right now, right? Just connecting the dots. And next thing you know, the IRS was targeting our little group. They wanted to know how many meetings we were having. They wanted to see our agenda. They wanted to know everyone's addresses, phone numbers, donors list, everything. And we were like, no, wait a minute. That's not why we got a tax exempt thing, is because we're exercising our First Amendment right to participate and speech and all these things. And we were like, no. And so they withheld our C4 status for over 2 years. We ended up in a lawsuit. And in that lawsuit, there were two lawsuits. We ended up in both lawsuits, but we ended up winning both of those lawsuits. And the question we were asking is like, wait a minute, is this the purpose of the IRS, is to become a weapon against people for whatever it is they're doing? If it's not a crime against the United States, and I'm not trying to overthrow anybody. You know what I mean? And like, it's a weird conversation to have, but we had it. I had it back in 2010 through 2014. We ended up winning our lawsuits. And by 2019, I spent a lot of energy trying to understand, what is this? What just happened to me? I didn't grow up in the U.S. I was born in England. I love the United States. And now I'm a white supremacist. And like, people were saying, well, you're a white supremacist and don't even know it. And I'm like, I don't? You know what I mean? And I'm like, wait a minute. I think I know myself pretty well. Anyway, so the research has led me down to the path of writing that paper. It's called the Political Weaponization of Labels: How Americans Become Unwitting Domestic Terrorists. And what I discovered is a conspiracy to use labels and weaponize government in order to make significant systematic change in the United States. And they're willing to use anybody to do it, whether it's Tea Party people under Obama, whether it's parents in the 2023. Threat tags, showing up for school board meetings, whatever it is, ranchers, election integrity, you name it. You could be a Muslim showing up to a school board and you get labeled the new face of white supremacy. And so that paper centers around the infrastructure of what's happening in that world. And I went to Washington, D.C. with Jeanette Finicum. She's the widow of Lavoie Finicum. He was shot and killed in 2016. And he was labeled. Everything I got labeled, that guy got labeled, but they ended up killing him and using the government to do it. And for me, that became like a wake-up call, not just that I got called a bunch of names, which I can handle. It's that it translated to the weaponization of government. It went from weaponized labels to weaponized government. And I'm like, time out. I definitely don't agree with taking over federal buildings and, you know what I mean, burning down people's houses and all that stuff. I don't agree with any of that. But I definitely don't agree with the weaponization of government and the lack of due process. That's a problem for anybody, black, white, Hispanic, Jews, you name it. It should be a human problem, not a partisan problem. And so I took Jeanette to Washington, D.C. in 2019 with my paper, and she and I went around and we sat down with various congressional staff. And we just looked them in the eyes and we said, this is a sincere effort to say something's not right with the system. Labels, I get it, First Amendment, call me a jerk all day if you want to. But when you use that as a manipulative tool to then weaponize government like the Puritans did against the Quakers in the 16th century, censoring them, taking their properties, beating them in public, and then in 1658 passing a law to execute them, we're on a dangerous path here. Okay, because I can point to Lavoie's death. I can point to that, and I can make a very good case if it was a fair and transparent table of discussion, a civil dialogue about us, not them, us versus them, about all of us, right? And so Jeanette was able to connect. I was able to connect. And one of those offices, Dan, was Jim Jordan, Congressman Jim Jordan. We spoke with his legislative staff, and we were able to convince the legislative director that there is a serious problem. And so we gave him the paper, didn't hear anything back. Then I got a call from one of my students, Don Dix. He was a county, he was a GOP Republican. I think that's what that means. Republican county chairman of a county in Riverside, California. And he calls me up and he says, Mark, I've put together a fundraiser for Congressman Devin Nunez, and Jim Jordan is the keynote speaker. Do you want me to give you your paper? I'm like, yeah, it's a no brainer. And so he did. And I said, as long as you look at Jim Jordan in the eyes and say, will you promise to please read this on your flight back to D.C.? And all I can tell you is, Dan, I believe I the name of the name of the committee is like sounds like my paper. OK. And the contents, what they're going to study, non-government organizations, corporations, federal agencies, bureaus and departments, et cetera, are going to be looked at in terms of how this idea of using labels and then turning that into a weapon or turning that into fuel to weaponize government is a problem. And that's what they're going to be looking at for these next 2 years. I'm so thankful for our country, for all every single American. I don't care who you are, how important this committee is to restoring faith in our system, to identifying solutions with action and not turning it into a witch hunt, but turning it into an opportunity to say, guys, we're better than the Puritans and the Quakers of the 16th century. We don't have to repeat history. It's not necessary, and we can do it. And so we've got some plans in the works. All I can say is I'm very thankful. And I'm very excited and hopeful for our country's future, because this Pandora's box is open to all Americans now. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's fantastic, too. And I want to mention that you and I have done programs before, and the primary source of most of this labeling that's been happening has been coming through the Southern Poverty Law Center. And I mean, I'm going to be real open about that. They have been for the last dozen years, they've been the source of so many of the federal agencies getting information on the people that they label. And it takes basically anybody that disagrees with the globalization and the socialization and all the rest of the programs going on, people like you and I who are traditional constitutionalists, believe in our republic, not a democracy. We believe in our republic. We have been identified by the SPLC as enemies of the state, and they've used that connection that they have with the federal government to cause us a lot of difficulties. And I'm going to let you take that one from there, because I know that's near and dear to you. They've attacked you incredibly.
Well, we for sure, and this goes back, this idea that the United States is a racist system inherently, that the plane itself, the government itself, is racist, it's systemically corrupt, is kind of the guiding principle for this idea that labels and weaponizing government is a justifiable activity in the 21st century. And so it's important to understand the nexus of what's going on in their minds as we kind of analyze their behavior, which I don't agree with at all in terms of using the labels and then turning government into a weapon as a result, because anyone can justify it, whether you're secular or religious, it doesn't matter. We've seen it throughout human history, and it's something that we need to come to the table, Dan. And this is why I'm so excited about the Select Committee. The table is there for us to come to. So the Southern Poverty Law Center originally is founded in terms of like stopping racism or white supremacy. It's kind of converted now into using labels as a weapon. So when you go to their website, splccenter.org, you'll notice it's like fighting hate, fighting extremism, fighting white supremacy, fighting ideologies that are hateful. And as you scroll through it, and you have to dig through their site, they have what's called the Hate Watch. And under the Hate Watch, they have anti-government groups. And under anti-government groups, they have about 400 plus entities that they've identified. One of them happens to be Center for Self-Governance. We still don't know why to this day. And I can't say too much, but our legal team has sent a demand for retraction to SPLC. And we've laid out our case, and we'll see what happens with that. We're hoping to be able to sit down with them in a couple of weeks face to face and have this discussion about the use of the labels, the negative consequences, the effect of weaponizing government and all those stuff. Of course, we'll see what the response is and if they do. But the danger here is that SPLC, with this idea that the system is inherently racist and that they somehow are justified in their actions, kind of like the Puritans, right? They felt justified in labeling the Quakers, is they provide training to law enforcement. They provide research to universities. They are considered the number one expert source in media reports about so-called white supremacy, although that is declining because of some mass shootings and violence attributed to their lists. So the Anti-Defamation League is starting to take over that role, that responsibility, but that's another conversation. They provided veto authority to PayPal, Eventbrite, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon Smile. Amazon Smile, by the way, we wrote to them last year when we were canceled on Amazon Smile, and we said, why are you canceled? We literally, our students across the United States, they use Amazon Smile. We don't promote hate or blowing people up or anything. None of that stuff. And they literally, their email back, well, we rely on the Southern Poverty Law Center. I can report that Amazon Smile is actually canceling Amazon Smile program this year. I think June is their last month. I'm not happy about that, but on the other hand, I sure am glad that Amazon is taking a step of eliminating the possibility of creating such bias and targeting and censorship. Jim Jordan wrote them a letter in 2019 after he read my paper. He wrote Amazon Smile to Bezos himself, and part of it included content from my paper regarding SPLC's membership on their vetoing staff for the Amazon Smile program. Anyway, so I'm sad to see Amazon Smile because I like Amazon. It's so easy, right? Purchasing stuff. What I didn't like was the fact that we could be so easily canceled like a Quaker. We could be accused of being a heretic and a witch without due process. That we could be put in a position where our property and our transactions were limited. And that's kind of the issue we have with the SPLC approach, is taking this idea that America is somehow just systemically, inherently, inside the airplane, racist. And I got to make this point, Dan. The Nazis are responsible for bringing the jet engine to human race, right? Mm-hmm. So does that make all planes racist and fascist and anti-Semitic planes? So we need to stop flying planes. I mean, the climate change people might say that, right? We need to stop flying planes. I get that. I understand what they're trying to say. But is the plane itself inherently racist, fascist, genocidal, anti-Semitic because the engine was made by Nazis? It's just a ridiculous. It's ridiculous because the jet engine has brought us immense ability to transit across multiple millions and millions of miles that have been traveled as a result of the airplane. Horrendous, horrendous ideology of murdering human beings. You know what I mean? But the jet engine itself was not the fascist, right? The jet our government is not. Our government is not inherently fascist, racist. The people who could use it, like Andrew Johnson, maybe, or South Carolina, at the end of the Civil War, maybe they could have. Right. I get that. I don't want someone who's a racist, a Marxist, a socialist, communist, dictating, tyrannical tyrant to be in charge of the United States government, right? The same is true for the BIPOC community. They don't want a racist, fascist, slave desire holding human being to control the US government either. So we're on the same page, 100%. And so Southern Poverty Law Center, I think we're at a stage now, Dan, because of what's happening with the committee, with Amazon Smile, with our retraction letter, demand letter that's going to go here within this week, actually. And also with our efforts to help people communicate with this committee and their state legislators to be like, this is our transformative opportunity these next 2 years to converse with our communities, with our state legislators, with our congressmen, with this committee, because it exists, to translate our ideas about how the 21st century should look like regarding the weaponization of labels and government, so that we can stop the regressive tendencies of the Puritans, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know what I mean? There's nothing new here, but this is our opportunity to fix it.
Well, and that makes perfect sense. Mark, you are a veteran. I'm a veteran. You volunteered. I know I did. the bottom line on all this is, and I've said this many times, if I become an enemy of the state, the way I believe in good constitutional representative government, if that becomes the enemy of the state, then we're living in a totally different state than the one I thought I grew up in. And in fact, that is exactly what's happened. It isn't that we are radicalized, it's that the other side has radicalized in a way that they are trying to cover their tracks by demonizing and labeling everybody else for doing the same things, that doing the things that they're doing. And a perfect example is Antifa. There's not a more fascist group around Antifa, because they are doing the very things that they are accusing people who believe in the Constitution of being fascist, when in fact they're the ones that act like fascists. They're burning down buildings. They're breaking things. They're hurting people. They've murdered people. They've done some really, really awful things. And they're trying to make us to be the people that are the bad guys, when in fact what we're trying to do is bring responsible representative government back to the United States, because it has gone missing in the last couple of administrations.
Well, that is such an important question to ask related to criminal act and enemy of the state. This domestic terrorism, domestic violent extremism labeling that's kind of centered in Southern Poverty Law Center, and as well as some of this language and rhetoric we hear in the media. It's also tied to the various federal laws, as well as state laws and commissions that are happening right now across the United States. It's really important for us to have a discussion about, well, what does it mean to be extreme? Is it extreme if I come onto your show because, let's say, you have an idea or a thought that is not considered mainstream, therefore it's extreme? And wait a second. What if we didn't have a Thomas Edison who had an extreme idea about electricity, right? Is it an extreme idea for Albert Einstein regarding nuclear atoms and relativity? Is it extreme? You know, what is extreme? What's not extreme? And what constitutes it going into the realm of being an enemy of the United States? For me and myself, I see myself as a 100% supporter of our nation. I actually support this debate, this struggle that we're having. It feels like a dysfunctional family and we're beating each other up and stuff, right? But these next 2 years are just a wide open opportunity to sit down, have a conversation, to identify what is extreme, what is an enemy of the United States, and how do we apply that in the 21st century going forward? And we get to be a part of that discussion, because you're right. There, on either side of the political spectrum, there's been people storming Capitol buildings and people protesting Supreme Court justices, what we're seeing is an inequality in the application of the law. And I know we need to grab a break, but when we come back, I'd love to be able to talk to you about the application of the law and the opportunity this committee gives us to bring balance back to the application of these definitions in the law.
I think that's a perfect segue into the second segment of the program. And keeping in mind that we are only talking about restoring freedom in the United States of America. Join us on the other side of the break.
Riots, recession, food prices, gas prices, violation of our liberties. These issues are keeping Americans awake at night. Sleepless nights aren't good for your health. Millions are suffering from sleep gap disorder. I'm Dr. Steve Hodgson, and I have a natural solution to overcome this dreaded sleep gap disorder, my proprietary sleep formula. One capsule of sleep formula will help you achieve a great night's sleep for as little as 75 cents per night. Visit our website, physicianspreferencevitamins.com, and enter the promo code SLEEPNOW. It's hard to stand up against tyranny when you're tired. Pray for our country and get a good night's sleep.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history. And they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones. We've got solar panels and also the big 400-watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because, of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts. And the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently. But it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement, and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots. And we're going to start the second segment of this podcast with a short video with Jim Jordan. So, Hannah, let's start with that video, get it tapped up, and then we will join Mark Herr on the other side of that video to talk about a lot of the stuff that Jim Jordan's talking about.
When the Department of Justice treats parents as terrorists, moms and dads who are simply showing up at a school board meeting to advocate for their son or daughter, it's not a ploy when the FBI pays Twitter $3 million, not one, not two, $3 million to censor American citizens. It's not a ploy when the Department of Homeland Security tries to set up a disinformation governance board, because we all know that the Department of Homeland Security can tell what's good speech and what is bad speech, what's mis— I mean, you gotta be kidding me. I tell you what, dozens of whistleblowers have come talk to Republican staff on the Judiciary Committee, don't think this is a ploy. That's why they came to talk to us. They know how serious this is. The former Democrat chair of the Judiciary Committee is in the press today saying, we're gonna fight this tooth and nail, this is political. But meanwhile, the former Democrat chair of the Intelligence Committee pressured Twitter to censor a journalist. You've got to be kidding me. This is the most important. This is about the First Amendment, something you guys used to care about. And I'd actually hoped we could get bipartisan agreement on protecting the First Amendment, the five rights we enjoy as Americans under the First Amendment. Your right to practice your faith, your right to assemble, right to petition the government, freedom of press, freedom of speech. Every single one's been attacked in the last 2 years. Their government was telling people they couldn't go to church just a few years ago. Your right to assemble, your right to petition the government. The Democrats kept the Capitol closed. You couldn't, as a citizen, couldn't come to your Capitol that you pay for to address your member of Congress, to redress your grievances, because Nancy Pelosi wouldn't let you in. Freedom of the press, I just told you what the head of the Intel Committee tried to do to a journalist. The most important right we have, though, is your right to talk. Because if you can't talk, you can't practice your faith. You can't share your faith. You can't petition your government. The right to speak is the most important, and that's what they're going after. And that's why we've had dozens of whistleblowers come talk to us. We want to focus on that because we want it all to stop. We want the double standard to stop. This idea that if you're a pro-life activist, you're going to get your door kicked in, you're going to get arrested and handcuffed in front of your seven kids and your spouse for simply praying in front of an abortion clinic and telling the guy who was harassing your son to knock it off. You're going to have the FBI raid your home. But the protests that went on at Supreme Court justices' homes in the aftermath of the leak of the Dobbs opinion, oh, no problem there. Americans are sick and tired of it. And what we want, we don't want to go after anyone. We just want it to stop. And we want to respect the First Amendment to the Constitution that the greatest country in the world has. That's what this committee is all about. And that's what we're going to focus on. That's what we're going to do.
IRA or 401k will not see this video, and that would be a tragedy. Why is that? Well, because Forbes recently commissioned an independent study and quickly saw through
the president. I don't know if you can hear me or not, but as you can see from Jim Jordan's statement there, he's talking about the creation of the Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. It has the same strength and power as the Church Committee did in the 70s regarding COINTELPRO. And so it has the same subpoena power. It has the same oversight power. It has they've just literally just subpoenaed Garland and Ray. Now, of course, they're going to circumvent all those subpoenas and all that kind of stuff, and the media will try to label it partisan, but that's not the point. What we see in the public is not the point. What we do under the hood, what we do to fix the car is what matters. And that's been my objective from the very beginning, is it's not about making a big show. It was about actually making change and preventing the Puritan Quaker paradox from being a part of our 21st century experience. I don't want my 5-year-old daughter to experience that kind of hell. I don't want BLM or anybody to experience that. It's horrendous. What I've read and I've seen and from people's diaries and stuff as I've researched this, trying to understand this from world history, what this Catholics and the Protestants did to each other is just horrendous in England. So we don't need to repeat it, is my point. I don't need to belabor that. But here we are. It's there. So what can we do? How can we participate? How can we make a difference? First is, if you feel like your government has been turned into a weapon against you. And you're just like, I just love what Jim Jordan says. We just want it to stop. I think that's number one. You know what I mean? Like when you're being abused. I remember when I was in third grade and I was being bullied. I was in South Korea and I had to go on a 50-mile bus ride from Osan to Seoul. And we had all the grades in there. And the older kids, obviously, they were the worst, right? And so I got off the bus and these bullies, older bully guys, they were 12th graders, pulled down my pants, took my pants off. And so I had to walk around school in my underwear the whole day. Finally, somebody got me some pants. It was later in the day. I don't remember the whole story, but I just remember traumatized. You know what I mean? There was another point when I was 15 and somebody was bullying me. And it was like, I wasn't big enough to fight back, but it hurt. You know what I mean? I was like, why'd you do this? When I was 15, somebody was about to slap me in the face when I was in school. And at that, there was a day when I grabbed their wrist and I looked them in the eyes and I said, no more, stop. And I said it like that, no more. That's the impression I got from Jim Jordan in that speech. We want it to stop. And the reason is because it feels you're like you keep trying to tell people I'm not the thing you're saying that I am. You know what I mean? I'm not. And it's like you have no defense. And so that it creates a really weird mentality, like you just kind of like feel like this trapped, abused person. And I think this is our open door for like, I don't know what else to call it, therapy, counseling session. It's an opportunity. And that's the beauty. So if you feel like you've been victimized by a non-government organization or the media in collusion with federal entities, and they're going to say things like, well, we're not connected to them, we don't use the same definitions they do, but you use the same exact labels that we can find in the federal code, that we can find in federal lexicons, and that we can find in rules, as well as threat assessments and agreements between the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. You use the exact same labels. And so you can say, I don't use the same definitions. That's fine. But use the same labels that cause the exact same harm. For example, last year, a young Republican was murdered because a guy thought that he was a Republican extremist. And that word extremist is all over SPLC's website. Mm-hmm. Okay, in 2012, a young black man decided because he was like Family Research Council in DC, they're anti-LGBTQ, they're going to try to kill me. And he found them on SPLC's hate group list. So he armed himself up, went into the building and started shooting. Fortunately, the security guard who got shot stopped him and prevented more mass murder based on SPLC's weaponization of labels. But then it's worse than that. We get into the government now, and you have the DHS and the FBI using these ambiguous labels that they say, well, there is no domestic terrorism charge, but that was an act of domestic terrorism. Well, wait a second. Wait a second. Is this conversation an act of domestic terrorism? Because they link misinformation, disinformation, malinformation. Well, who gets to define what Dan Happel, if what he's saying is dis, mis, and doubt, like Jim Jordan? The DHS is going to decide what is misinformation. So again, we have the opportunity to make a difference. And if your audience, if any of them feel like in some way, the media, non-government orgs, federal entities, bureaus, or even collusion between the state law enforcement, not because it's on purpose, because it's manipulated to be, then you should connect with this select committee and don't be emotional, be factual. I was doing this and this happened, and select committee on the weaponization of government, I think that this is a fruit of that. Would you look into it?
And yeah, imagine. I think that's perfect, Mark. And I didn't mean to interrupt, but what you're talking about, we used to have good civil discussion. When we have differences of opinion, the way I grew up, that was called debate. That was called discussion.
What's that called again? I've never heard of that word. What is that?
And now it, everything is being labeled and it's being demonized. And you're absolutely spot on. But the good thing about this is they've overplayed their hand. The powers that be that are trying to push us into this one world government globalist nonsense have overplayed their hand, and they've labeled anybody who believes in the United States of America as a constitutional republic and believe that we have an excellent system of government, they've labeled us as the bad guys. And guess what? A lot of Americans are waking up to that reality, and they're saying, you know, enough is enough. These people are over the top.
You gotta think of it this way. You might have a kid who's like, doesn't like his mom because she's like strict about making bed or brushing teeth or whatever. And they can have their fight. But this is where I think they've overplayed it. A kid's going to look at their mom and dad and go like, you just called my mom a terrorist. Only I'm allowed to call my mom a terrorist, right? Okay. And so the point is that blood is thicker than water. And I think this is one of the things that they're failing at understanding is that in the 21st century, we not only have to have this discussion about what is extreme and what's an enemy, we have to have a deeper conversation about humanity, human to human, without all of the labeling identity politics stuff, because it really creates a tremendous amount of confusion. And the natural instinct of a family is to tribalize, to congregate and protect, even though they tried very hard to separate the child from the parent, you know, through like, hey, go get a vaccine without your parental consent or get transitioned out, you know, that kind of stuff. And then parents show up to a school board. That child in the psychological world is actually very thankful that they have someone standing up for them. And that's an important piece, I think, because I understand what the public school folks are trying to articulate when it comes to in loco parentis, which is another rabbit hole, but is they've got to understand that is something that they did not calculate very well, and as a result overplayed it. And now you have this select committee on the weaponization of the federal government that opens the door for transformative change. It's at the table of opportunity for literally, Dan, for the whole world to watch. It's there for us to make the greatest difference. I'm profoundly excited for the opportunity to participate, and I hope many Americans see carpe diem, seize the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I do too. And just so our listeners have a better idea, let's talk about, there's 432 different agencies that are part of this weaponization of government. Maybe touch on a few of them, if you would, please.
Well, the Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government is, I mean, the word federal government means judicial, legislative, and the executive branch. In particular, when we think of the federal government, we say weaponized. We're probably, for most modern people, they're thinking FBI, DHS, Department of Justice, that kind of stuff. Things that you can readily see in the media. But there's a lot more to our executive branch than meets the eye. First, there's about 432 departments, which are the constitutional departments mentioned in the U.S. Constitution. Then there are bureaus and agencies, which are either attached to those departments or independent structures created by Congress, either in support of the departments or in support of some executive law enforcement that Congress has given to the executive branch. For example, the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the CDC, right? We got to experience a lot about the CDC during the COVID pandemic lockdowns and all that stuff, the Center for Disease Control, the Environmental Protection Agency, or the Bureau of Land Management, just to name a few. So bureaus, agencies, National Security Agency, Central Intelligence Agency, or the Department of Defense, or the Federal Bureau of Investigation. So they generally will fall into those three categories: department, agencies, and bureaus. There's over 430 of them. The last count that I did was 432. There could be more now. but these, they're assigned a duty and power by Congress. And then they are placed within the executive branch under the president's oversight. But there's something else in addition to those 432 departments, agencies, and bureaus, Dan. It's called the Executive Office of the President, and that was created in 1939. That office is independent of those 432 departments, bureaus, and agencies. It's literally its own entity within the Office of the President and houses between 2,000 to 4,000 executive servants, civil servants, that are directly brought in by the president themselves through his staff. And that entity ultimately was what controls the presidency of the United States. And then those bureaus, departments, and agencies are what carry out the laws and regulations that they create. So I could spend hours. 1946, the Administrative Procedures Act was passed. That allowed those departments, bureaus, and agencies to make what are called administrative rules, administrative courts, administrative procedures. That's why it's called the Administrative Procedures Act. And those two laws in particular, the Executive Office of the President, 1939, Administrative Procedures Act, 1946, are what I would say is the seed that has opened the Pandora's box to the United States experiencing a lot of this administrative bureaucratic activity. I mean, one example I would say is when you see Crossfire Hurricane, for example, and how do you hold people accountable for weaponizing the system against a candidate for president of the United States, which is unheard of, and then now we're starting to find out that there's information that may have been withheld from the president in carrying out his duties. That's, I would argue, Dan, that that's the source of that is not because there is necessarily bad actors who have bad intentions, and there are a few of them, like bad parents. There are bad parents, but 99% aren't. Is the source of opening that Pandora's box, I would argue, goes back to 1939, 1946, the Executive Office of the President Act and the Administrative Procedures Act, that creates that cultural environment where they feel that they are empowered to make those kinds of unilateral decisions or manipulating the system decisions. And hopefully in the future, I mean, long term, again, the Pandora's box is open, Dan. So the table is set. We have a right to sit at it if we want through our legislative branch. I mean, that's amazing. And all Americans, is that we can start to introduce ideas for change, solutions with actions. I'll give you one example. It's called the REINS Act, R-E-I-N-S Act. It's written by Senator Mike Lee. And the purpose of this act is to help rein in the results of these Executive Office of the President and the Administrative Procedure, specifically the Administrative Procedures Act. But definitely worth looking at this idea of introducing solutions with action and not just having a witch hunt for the next 2 years. We don't want that at all. We want to, hey guys, if you've been victimized, communicate with your congressman, communicate with this committee. The door is open to you. Secondly, come with your ideas and your solutions. Don't just come with complaint. And that's what Americans have gotten used to. We've become the complaining culture. We just are always complaining about it, but bring your solutions with action. Tangible things that we can like, hey, those things may have caused, that could be the cause, right? That's the cause of my cancer, right? Wouldn't you want to fix it if I've got cancer? Oh, give me the cause, doc. Even our health system, we need help there. The CDC, fixing the CDC in terms of how they, going back and looking at the 1960 laws, from their 1930s laws and the 1960s laws, and looking at how can we reform those and improve them for the 21st century so that we're not having these bureaucrats shut our nation down. And it turns out that, oh, sorry, grandma died alone in the nursing home. Our bad, but that was collateral damage for the future.
Yeah, no, Mark, you're right about all that. And the thing that's happening is that most people who see these excesses by government, it's that they shut down the debate. And we've got to quit shutting down debate, and we've got to entertain debate. And that's what's happened with this weaponization of government. We have shut down the conversation. So you're right. This isn't about attacking a particular person or a particular agency just willy-nilly. This is about making them open their minds and their ears and listen to the American people. That's really what this is about, isn't it?
It's like Jim Jordan said, we just want this to stop. This is about our ability to talk. And everything you've said and we've talked about today, it literally comes down to that thing is it okay for Dan Happel and Mark Kerr to have a conversation about our ideas in the 21st century? And as far as I'm concerned, whether I agree or disagree with you and whatever your ideas are, I'm just glad that we had this opportunity, at least at this moment, for you and I to have this conversation. I treasure our freedom of speech and our ability to talk.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, if we don't protect that now, we won't have it in the future. And what you're talking about is saving this country as a republic and allowing people to have those freedoms, isn't it?
You having me on to talk about the Select Committee on the Weaponization of Government. I hope folks will come to our website, centerforselfgovernance.com/PWOG, to learn more about what we're trying to do to resolve this problem.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a interesting subject and a great discussion. The secret is for people to get off their butts and be involved. We've got to be part of the solution and quit being part of the problem. Mark, thank you for being our guest. I want to thank our viewers, and we'll see you again next week for Connecting the Dots.